On the phone this morning from Sydney, I have Dr. Udo Erasmus himself. He is often referred to as the father of organic unrefined flax oil, and his work with essential fatty acids spans three decades and provided the groundwork for all the current public and industry awareness focused on the importance of essential fatty acids or omega fats. We find the lack of essential fatty acids, EFAs, constitutes the most neglected aspect of our nutritional program for healthy, radiant skin. As always, it's important that we avoid white foods and foods rendered toxic by processing and overheating. A list of foods supplying essential fatty acids can be found in Udo Erasmus's book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. So kia ora and good morning, Udo.
Good morning.
Well, we're very pleased to be able to know that you're coming to New Zealand and really ignite the concept of getting people to be aware of what sort of oils and fats and to take care of their health. So how did you get involved in this?
Well, I have a pretty solid background in biological science and biochemistry and genetics. And I left university because I didn't want to be part of the geneticists learning how to clone people. I thought that was a stupid thing to do with science. And so I left and I did what farm boys do because I grew up on a farm. I built houses and did gardens and ended up as a pesticide sprayer and got poisoned by pesticides. And the medical profession doesn't have any solutions for pesticide poisoning. So I thought I would try my hand at figuring it out myself. Went to the journals in nutrition. And when I found out how badly our oils are damaged by their processing, I decided we ought to make them with health rather than shelf life in mind. So that kind of was the crystallizing idea for what I've been doing for the past 25 years.
Yes, because you've had many, many decades involved. So, and now we're getting to a point where people are starting to really realize that we've got to make sure that these omega threes in particular are getting into our body to get rid of our free radicals. Can you lead us into how you got involved with getting into more natural oils?
Yeah, two things happened. I found out that when oils are made, they're usually made for shelf life. And in order to get an oil that by nature has a short shelf life, a long one, what they do is they treat it first with sodium hydroxide, then with phosphoric acid, then they bleach it with bleaching clays, and that makes it rancid. And then to clean up the mess they made with this chemical feast, they then heat the oil to frying temperature before it goes in the bottle. And in that processing, about 1% of the molecules are damaged. And a tablespoon of an oil treated that way that is 1% damaged will give you 1.5 million damaged molecules for every one of your body's 60 trillion cells. It's a six actually followed by 19 zeros. That's the number of damaged molecules in a tablespoon of 1% damaged oil. And when I saw that, I said, let's see. In genetics, we learned you only need two molecules to change gene expression in a cell. And all of these damaged molecules were never in nature, so life never made us a program for dealing with them. So this stuff does not belong in the body if health is what your goal is. And so that's what got me started to make oils with health rather than shelf life in mind. The second thing I learned is that omega-3s are essential, which means you can't make them, you got to have them, you got to get them from food because you can't make them. And if you don't get enough, then your body goes down. If you don't get enough long enough, you die. But if you bring them back in adequate quantities before you die, then all the problems that come from not getting enough are reversed, and you get your health back. That's what essential means. They're essential. 99% of the population doesn't get enough. They are the single most widespread essential nutrient deficiency of our time, and they are required by every cell, every tissue, every gland, every organ in the body. They have both structural jobs and functional jobs. Out of them, hormones are created that regulate cell activity everywhere in the body. And because most people are not getting enough, I thought I should do something to replace them. they're also more sensitive to damage by processing than any of our other essential nutrients. There's about 40 essential nutrients, 20 minerals, 14 vitamins, 8 essential amino acids, 2 essential fatty acids. And because they're the most sensitive of all of these essential nutrients, they are damaged most easily by processing. So they need to be made with the most care. And so so two things then. First standard was to make them with health in mind. Second was to bring the omega-3s back. Third was to balance them with the omega-6s, because omega-6s are also essential, and they need to be in the right balance to one another. And then the fourth was to get them packaged properly. A lot of times now people put oils in plastic, and the research says that plastic swells when you put oil in it, and there are substances in plastic, stabilizers and mold releasers and things like that, and those leach into oils even more quickly than plastic leaches into water, and we know that it leaches into water because you can taste it. If you leave water in a plastic bottle and let it warm up a little, then you can taste it. So that was number four. And then most recently, I've worked with a plant-based source of DHA. Usually we only got it from fish oil, but we can now get it from a plant-based source. It is both free of PCBs and dioxins, which are an issue with fish, and it is not damaged by processing. The fish oils are even more damaged by processing than the seed oils because they are more sensitive to damage. They're 25 times more sensitive to damage by light, oxygen, and heat than the seed oils are. And so you get even more higher percentage of damaged molecules in fish oils. And so we now have a plant-based source of the long-chain omega-3s that are neither toxic nor damaged. So that's basically what I spent the past 25 years doing. And other than that, I wrote a book called Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, to make the point that there are fats we should be avoiding, which everybody has known for some time. But what we never got told very much is that there are some fats that are absolutely essential for health, and we got to make sure that we bring in and optimize those. And then other than that, I've been traveling around the world telling the story about what are the good fats and what are the bad fats and how people can improve their health by getting rid of the bad fats and bringing in the good ones. I have a little slogan I like to use. Your body needs an oil change just like your car. You know, in your car, you get rid of the dirty oil and replace it with clean oil. We need to do that in our diet too.
Yes, because, I mean, if you go to any supermarket, which, of course, when I go to a supermarket now, there's hardly anything to buy other than toilet paper, possibly. But it's sad. But you see all these glistening bottles, all these, as you say, plastic bottles of stuff in there. And of course, New Zealand has got so many fish and chip shops all over the place. And of course, fish and chips are a standard in our country. And of course, even in Australia, they're a standard too. And I've gone and I've asked them what sort of oils that they have, and they have cottonseed oil. I was told that one of their oils that comes from the original rapeseed was
canola
was actually more refined than machine oil. And so that when we've taken these oils, they can even sort of leach into the tissue. Could you tell us a little bit more about the downside of some of these oils, please, and then we'll hear the upside?
Okay, well, there are three kinds of oils that are the what I call the killer fats. One is the hydrogenated oils, the trans fatty acids that we briefly that they've been in the food supply since 1911. They've had a free ride for 96 years. They're industrial products. They don't exist in nature in the way that we got them in our margarines and our shortenings and the partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. And their problem is, according to the research, that they increase, they double risk of heart attack, they increase diabetes, they kill at least 30,000 Americans every year. This is according to Harvard School of Public Health, which is very conservative in its estimates. And there's research that they interfere with vision and learning in children, that they interfere with liver detoxification. That's one of the major jobs the liver has in the body. That they change immune function, that they interfere with reproduction in both male and female animals, and we don't have any human studies that have been published on that. And they literally don't belong in the food supply. They are twisted fats. So the molecule is changed in shape, and that changes its properties. So those don't belong in the diet. Now in North America, there is a push to get them labeled and to get them removed, and various states in the United States and also in Canada are taking different legislative measures to alert people to their presence, to kind of shame the people who use them into not using them. So that's killer fat one. Killer fat two is anything that you fry. When you fry oils, you overheat them and you change molecules, and frying is associated with increased inflammation, increased cancer, and increased forms of cardiovascular disease. The inflammation is being shown to be a background factor in a wide range of degenerative conditions, including Alzheimer's, diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis. And inflammation is produced by the immune system when molecules that don't belong in the body get in the body, and life never made us a program. So the immune system creates inflammation trying to figure out what the heck to do with these things. So, and interestingly, that the increase in cancer from 100 years ago, when it was 1 in 30 deaths, to 1 in 4 now, has exactly paralleled the increase in our use of oils for frying. Because 100 years ago, mostly people steam poached, boiled, and pressure cooked their foods. And water does not damage foods the way oils do, because oils burn the foods, and the burnt foods also increase inflammation and cancer. Whether that's the brown on bread, or whether it's the black on steak, or the black on coffee beans, burnt foods increase inflammation and cancer. The third is the cooking oils themselves, which we use for frying, which have been treated with sodium hydroxide, phosphoric acid, bleached, and heated to frying temperature before they go in the bottle. And that's been done to all of our cooking oils except for extra virgin olive oil, that which, by the way, should not be used for frying either. So those are the main three killer fats. The saturated fats, we're being told that they are bad for the heart. But actually, it's not the saturated fats that cause the problem. It's the lack of omega-3s that is the problem here, because the omega-3s protect us from the damaging effects that saturated fats can have if we have enough in our diet. But 99% of the population doesn't get enough. And then the fourth killer fat is sugar, because sugar in the body also turns into fat if we don't burn it. And then sugar causes lots of problems, cross-links protein and makes you age faster, removes minerals from the body, is great food for cancer cells and infectious organisms, breaks down your bones, breaks down your teeth. So hydrogenated fat, fried fats, the cooking oils themselves before they're fried, and saturated fats and sugar, those are the ones that can cause problems. On the other hand are the fats that we absolutely have to have, and those are omega-3 and omega-6. Those the body cannot make but has to have, and therefore they have to come in from outside. Both are very sensitive to damage. Excuse me. Both are extensively damaged by processing, and both therefore need to be made with great care and need to be used without frying them. So you can put them in hot food, but you can't put them in the frying pan because that'll damage them. And those need to be in the right ratio because the body needs both. But if you get the ratio wrong, then the one will crowd out the other, or the other will crowd out the one, depending on which one you have too much of.
Yes, because what I've found in my case, I use, should we say, extra virgin olive oil in my salads. And so I can pour, if I have potato and hot potato and broccoli and silver beet, can I just pour my olive oil over that as well, even though it's hot and steaming, that's still okay?
Yeah, extra virgin olive oil is actually the only oil that you find in stores normally that has not been damaged by processing, which is why it has a good reputation. It is unfortunately a very poor source of omega-3. It has virtually none, and it's low in omega-6 as well. But what makes it useful is that it hasn't been damaged by processing and still contains what we call minor ingredients that include antioxidants and lecithin and phytosterols. And those are also good for health. They're found in small quantities in oils that have not been treated the way the cooking oils are treated. And they have major health benefits. You can put olive oil and you can put the good oils, the omega-3 and 6 oils, you can put those on steamed vegetables and in hot soup after it comes off the fire. They're very nice for flavor enhancement. They also improve the absorption of oil-soluble nutrients. So you can do that. You just do not ever want to use them, including extra virgin olive oil. You never want to use them for frying because you do extensive damage by light, by oxygen, and heat acting on the oil at the same time in the frying pan.
And coconut oil?
Coconut is fairly stable, doesn't have omega-3s, very low. It's even lower than olive in omega-6. So you really need to be looking, I think, as the first thing to do, you need to be looking for a good source of undamaged, organically grown omega-3s and omega-6s. Once you've done that and you've brought in and optimized your omega-3s and 6s, then you can eat coconut and you can eat olive oil and it won't be a concern. But if you just have coconut and olive oil, you still will not be getting the omega-3s you need. And what happens when you don't get enough omega-3s, the research over the past 20 years says that when you improve omega-3 intake, you improve virtually every major degenerative condition of our time, which includes all of the major cardiovascular risk factors. They slow down cancer cell growth. They make you more insulin sensitive, so they're good for diabetes and protect you from diabetes. They make bones stay stronger longer. They improve skin, hair, and nails. They improve vision. They elevate mood and lift depression. They speed learning and increase IQ. If you don't get enough, you become physically weak and incoordinated. We have done some studies with athletes where we've shown that if you give an athlete a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day, which is about 2, 3, 4 tablespoons a day, of oil mixed in food spread out over the day, and the oil is 50% omega-3s, which is what we work with in a blend that I developed a formula for, their average stamina increase is 42%. We had athletes, and these are world-class athletes, we had some that had over 50% increase in stamina. they're good for increasing energy levels. What am I missing? They're required for liver and kidney function. They improve digestive function and protect against allergies. They dampen the over-response in autoimmune conditions. They decrease inflammation. They decrease the symptoms in most of the major mental disorders like schizophrenia, bipolar, obsessive-compulsive, autism, Alzheimer's. They are required for both male and female reproduction. And if I've missed any part of the body, they're required for that too. They're literally required for every cell, every tissue, every gland, and every organ in the body. Oh, yes, they improve hormone function at the cell receptor level. So that helps. That helps people as they get older and their glands don't put out as much hormone. they can actually get normal function with less hormone. So they do that as well. They help in premenstrual syndrome, very important in pregnancy for brain development and brain function. And when women take good fats during pregnancy, the pregnancy is easier, the delivery is easier, the mother has more energy and less depression after giving birth, and the children are born more alert and show exploratory behavior earlier, which is considered a sign of higher intelligence. There's a lot of babies that whose mothers take the oil blend that I work with, and we call them Udo babies. And I get pictures of them sometimes, and they're just remarkably healthy-looking, active, interested kids. Very nice to be able to help with that. We did a study in England. They were working with children who can't be in the school system because they're violent and isolated and asocial or antisocial, really. We had 42 in the school. Half of them were put on a tablespoon of the oil, which is less than I recommend. For 3 months, nothing happened. And then from the fourth month on, their incidents were there had to be intervention. So these are crisis incidents because of violence and meanness and things like that. Went down from 64 to 8. So they went down by, what is that, to 1/8. That's 87% decrease in these incidents. And the kids, without any influence from the adults, because their job was just to manage the crises, actually became more social, and instead of ostracizing new members into the school, they actually helped them integrate into the school and helped them with the rules and helped them with the systems, and became spontaneously socially coherent, which was very remarkable to me. Omega-3s, in terms of socialization, seem to play a very important role. That's in addition to their benefit to attention deficit and learning disorders. But this is something quite different. This is like the ability to socialize seems to have some connection to omega-3s as well.
This is very newsworthy, Udo. How does it not get out? I mean, is the media, of course, just playing the same tune? How is it?
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not yelling loud enough, so it's my fault. So I have to yell louder. And they did actually, they brought in when I was there, they did this just outside of Manchester. And when I was in England, we went and visited the school, and the media did come there and got their pictures taken, took the pictures of the kids, and you know we talked to them a little bit about all of this. They did do some media on it, but I think you know drug companies have more money, so they probably take up more media time. Somebody owns the media. These are not saints who own the media. So the media is a business, and they do what gets them business.
Yes.
There's not a lot of money to be made on oils, so this is so it's a lot more difficult to do studies and get the attention and pay for the airtime than it is for drugs, which cost pennies and sell for thousands of percent of profit.
Udo, I'll just tell our listeners that I am speaking with Udo Erasmus from Australia, and you can check his website, www.udoerasmus.com.
Yeah, there's an easier way to get to the website because most people don't know how to spell my name. It's rightfatdiet.com. rightfatdiet.com. Rightfatdiet. The reason for that name is we've talked about high-fat diets and low-fat diets and no-fat diets and fake-fat diets. But the truth is that if you want to get fats right, you have to focus on what the right fats are and make sure you bring them in optimum quantities into your diet. So rightfatdiet.com.
Excellent. Now, of course, I originally came across flax oil many years ago, back in 1988.
Yep.
And then I slipped back into fish oil because I found it was, I guess, more convenient to my pocket. And so fish oil is not what it's meant to be.
No, flax oil, by the way, if you came across it in 1988, that's 2 years after I developed it in North America. So that's pretty quick. In some places, it traveled much slower than that, so you're obviously paying attention. The fish oils are more convenient. The fish oils contain a form of omega-3s that the body can make out of flax oil, provided you get enough, or provided the plant omega-3s, if you get enough, your body makes the fish oils itself and then makes them without damage, and then you don't get PCBs and dioxins in them. The fish oils have EPA and DHA in them. Those have important functions in the body. But you get those with PCBs and dioxins and with processing damage. The problem with that is that you can take something that's beneficial, and if you add a little poison to it, what'll happen? You lower the benefits. If you add more poison, you can neutralize the benefits. And if you added even more poison, then you could get negative effects from something that's supposed to give you benefits. And that's the issue with the fish oils. And over the years, we're doing more and more processing with the fish oils, and so we're getting more and more of the fish oil molecules damaged. So there's now some research that suggests that when you take more than 5 grams of fish oil, you can actually increase inflammation when they're supposed to decrease inflammation. Why is that? Well, my view on it is that the fish oil molecules that are not damaged, the body metabolizes them and turns them over because it knows how to do that. The molecules that are damaged tend to accumulate in the body because life never made a program for dealing with them because they were never in the food supply. Because the food supply, until we got civilized, was fresh, whole, raw, organic foods. Not fried, not deodorized, not steam distilled, not molecularly distilled, not wiped film evaporated, not pharmaceutical grade concentrated. All of that is done by industrial processes. And because molecules change when that's done, they turn into something that never existed in nature. So the immune system has to try and figure out how to deal with them, and it does that by creating inflammation. When somebody has systemic inflammation, it's usually related either to undigested proteins, or could be plastics, could be pesticides, could be damaged food molecules, could be industrial chemicals, could be pharmaceutical drugs, because all of these are molecules that never existed in nature until very, very recently, and we did not develop a genetic program, or life did not develop a genetic program for dealing with them. That's why they accumulate, and that's why they can cause problems.
Yes.
So I have never used fish oils because of those two issues, PCBs and dioxins and processing damage. 20 years I held out because I wanted a higher standard, and we now have a plant-based DHA oil that is not damaged by processing and is free of PCBs and dioxins. And so we're very proud of it, and we use that in the oil blend so that you get both the foundational oils, which are major nutrients, 2, 3, 4 tablespoons a day, and the therapeutic oils, which used to be the fish oils, but now you can get them in higher standard sources.
Yes. The expense, are they acceptable for the ordinary person, or is this a... an item there that, of course, because we cherish our body and it's such a key item, that we just have to spend the money to get...
I think you just answered the question yourself.
Yeah, yes.
You know, the issue is this. If you include in the cost of the junk you eat, the cost either to your own pocketbook or to your society of the problems that they create in your body, that... you know, you end up with less productive time, but you also have to be taken care of. If you include all that in the cost of your foods, then the cheapest foods to buy are fresh, organic products that are more expensive than the junk, but that actually save you money and save you time simply because they work properly in the body.
Yes. And you store your flax oil in the fridge?
Yes. We ship it refrigerated, and we ship it. We keep it refrigerated in the stores. We keep it refrigerated in the home, and we put it in the food before we eat it. It's true for flax oil, also true for the formula that I developed, which is called Udo's Choice, or Udo's Oil 369 Oil Blend, or Udo's Oil DHA 369 Oil Blend.
Yes, well, I want to be able to talk about that, or want you to talk about it. Can you go into that? There's a few other questions. So the oil problem is a global challenge, because I've been up in China relatively recently, and they had huge amounts of beautifully prepared vegetables in particular, but they had all the fish, and yet they were using an oil which I saw was very, very sort of cheap, that was pouring it out of plastic. And so...
Yeah.
On one hand,
yeah, when I went to China, actually, I was surprised. China and other places in Asia, we used to have this oil, was called mazola. It was a corn oil, and it was treated with Drano, window washing acid, bleached and fried before it went in the bottle, like all the other cooking oils. And it's called mazola. Well, we got rid of it in North America because of the problems associated with omega 6 oils that have been damaged like that. And corn oil doesn't contain any omega-3s. So I thought they had disappeared from the market. But then when I went to Asia, Malaysia and Taiwan and China, I found the same mazola oil in their stores. What the industry does is they do it with pesticides too. If a pesticide is banned in North America because it gets too much bad press or people are too upset about it, then the industry doesn't close down. They just take the same junk and take it to other countries that aren't as educated. And they've done that with the oil as well. So I was shocked, and it is a worldwide problem. Oils are major nutrients. You know, if you go and do a degree in nutrition, then they will tell you in your first few weeks, there are three pillars of nutrition. What are they? Protein, carbs, and fats. And these are the nutrients that we need in large quantities. These are not milligrams. We're talking tablespoons, 14 grams in a tablespoon. So these are major nutrients. And they, because they're major nutrients, and because every cell in the body needs them, the quality that we have in these major nutrients is going to make a major difference to the quality of physical health that we enjoy, simply because they're so widespread in our body and are involved in so many functions, which is why the research says when you increase omega-3s in the diet, and if they're properly made, then you can decrease virtually every major degenerative condition of our time. And it's because every cell needs them, and hardly anybody gets enough. 99.9% of the population does not get enough omega-3s for optimum function.
And do you take them in the morning before or after food?
I take them with food.
You take them with
food? I always mix them with food. We had, we had yogurt and we had some whole grain things today and just mixed it in the yogurt. We had yogurt with rhubarb and yogurt with blueberries and we mix it in the yogurt. But you can literally put them in any food. It'll improve the flavors, and it'll improve the absorption of the nutrients. And they're very good energy source. Something I didn't say before, omega-3s are very good for weight management. Carbs is what makes us put on weight, because if we eat more than we burn, they turn into fat, and then our blood sugar goes down when that's happened, and we get cravings, and then we tend to overeat. The good oils, especially the omega-3s, they give you stable energy and they turn on fat burning in the body and they turn off fat production. And they even turn up heat production, so they keep you warm in winter. I hear it's pretty cool in New Zealand.
It can be. We're into spring now, and but there's fluctuations in the weather, as you can understand, with climate change.
So they're very good for keeping warm in winter, and they're very good for increasing energy levels.
On your website, you have also got a food pyramid, or three food pyramids. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you mention in particular to keep away from the whites. And I've always actually had, I thought, what, white bread, white sugar, and white rice is nearly equivalent to the whites of cocaine and the whites of heroin. They're all basically,
yeah.
I've always put the whites in the bad.
Yeah.
What about salt?
So, well I add white oil and white fat to that list of whites. The white oil are the cooking oils.
Yes.
You know, they're colorless, odorless, tasteless. And then the white fats are the margarines and the shortenings. So those go, I add those to the list of whites to avoid. Salt, it's better if it's sea salt because then it has the trace minerals. We need some salt, but the tendency in our society is to oversalt our food. We need about 250 milligrams it's about a gram of salt a day, and the average intake in North America is seven or more, and it's not uncommon that people have 15 grams of salt. When you get that much sodium, actually chloride is what causes the high blood pressure. When you get that much, that's not a good thing. You also get water retention, and so salt is essential, but you got to get the amount, the dosage right.
Very good.
So that means the 1 gram of fat is not white, and the other 14 are. You know, by your system of avoiding whites?
Yes. And the fruit was interesting because I'm a huge fruit eater because I feel that I need to clean my system out. But if you're not doing exercise, fruit is bad for you. Is that correct?
Well, fruit is good except for the sugar it contains. I can get fat on sugar, on fruit. So my view is that you take vegetables are much more important than fruit. In North America, we're told eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, and my view is eat 9 of vegetables and 1 of fruit. And that's because of the sugar in the fruit. Everything else about fruit's fine. But the sugar, and, you know, we make them bigger. We bred our fruits bigger, so we're not getting little green apples. You know, the crab apples that were pretty low in sugar and quite tart. You know, what we've done is we've made them really fat and they have lots of sugar in them. That sugar will get you high triglycerides. A lot of people who eat a lot of fruit get high triglycerides. That's a cardiovascular risk factor. And that's because the sugar is absorbed very quickly and then the body has to turn it into fat.
And it's the leafy greens. I like leafy greens. I think I can go out into my garden and I can pick about 3 different types of spinach and about 4 different types of lettuce and spring onions and et cetera and some broccoli and finally silver beet. And put it all together and that's I've got all this juicy green coming out.
Yeah, you can't go wrong on green vegetables.
Yes.
No way to go wrong. You won't get overweight on them. And they have some carbs in them, but you get them released really slowly, and they have lots of good things in them, you know, minerals, vitamins.
yes.
They make our proteins. They have antioxidants in them. In fact, they're very, very rich in antioxidants. They have other healing properties that we call phytonutrients in them. You cannot go wrong in vegetables. And on my food pyramid, by the way, I made that food pyramid because I found out that the American food pyramid, I'm from Canada, but the pyramid is pretty much worldwide. I found out that the food pyramid was never made with health in mind. It was just a way of arranging the foods normally eaten by Americans in some order. And it's made by the Department of Agriculture, which is beholden to the food industry, so they can't really tell the truth. And when I found that out, the problem with the foods normally eaten by Americans is that 70% of Americans die prematurely from the foods eaten by Americans. So I decided to make a food pyramid that was made with health in mind. So the greens are on the bottom, not carbs. You know, when we changed, when we were told to eat less fat and more carbs about 25 years ago, in 20 years, overweight went from 25% of the population to 65. And that's from the carbs. They were on the bottom of the food pyramid. People ate more carbs and less fat and got fatter. And so on my food pyramid, greens are on the bottom. Second level is good fats and protein, because these are the essential nutrients. And then the third level is fuel. Fuel includes fruit, sweets, and starches. Potatoes, it's a vegetable, but it's not the preferable vegetable. Grains, bread, breakfast cereals, pancakes, waffles, that's all fuel. And we don't need as much fuel as we're eating. That's why so many people are overweight. I don't know what it's like in New Zealand, but in North America, it's 65% of the population. Europe, it's about 50% of the population. And everybody heading in the direction of more overweight based on being told that carbs are more important than they are. In fact, they're the least important food because there are no essential nutrients found in carbs. You can live completely without carbs. Use fat as fuel instead. Use protein as fuel instead. And that's all carbs are good for, is to provide fuel to burn for energy. And then, so the fuel is on, and then also saturated and monounsaturated fats, those are fuel. And then the fourth level is the burnt foods and the white foods. The white foods we just went over, the burnt foods are anything that you've overheated and turned brown. So it's the crust on bread, it's the brown on toast, it's the black in coffee, because coffee beans in nature are green, not black. That's they're actually roasted, and you see smoke pouring out of the ovens. They roast them in, and then whatever you do to your meat, if you fry it, anything you fry will get burnt because the temperature's so high. Fried vegetables, you do damage. And the part that's turned brown or black, that's all molecules that don't belong in the human body. You've wrecked the food with oil. And then you get the problems that come from damaged molecules in your body.
Boy, we humans.
So those we say avoid. And fuel, never eat more than you burn, otherwise you're going to wear. We say to people, if you eat carbs, you either burn them or you're going to wear them. And then the greens, good fats and proteins, that's what we emphasize should be the basis of a good diet.
We've got so much of everything backwards, haven't we?
We have.
And,
the food industry feeds the disease industry. We call that health care, but it's really disease management or sick care. You know, we don't even have a teachable field of health. We have teachable fields of diseases, but we have no teachable field of health. Completely backwards. If you keep people sick, of course, you can make a lot more money on them than if you make them healthy and they don't come and visit you. But the body in nature, the body was always constructed out of food, water, air, and light. And that was nature's way of making healthy bodies. So it's not medicine, but it's construction material, maintenance material, and repair material. And life set the standard for health in nature, and life developed a genetic program that if you live in line with nature, will make you a body where everything works. For a long time.
And as long as we're sort of joyful and have got warm
relationships. I'm only talking about the physical. Negative emotions will bring you will tear you down, and thoughts out of line with harmonious living will have negative effects on your health, and a polluted environment will have negative effects on health simply because you keep eating the environment, it's your food. So if what we dump in the environment ends up in our bodies because we eat the environment. And not feeling fulfilled and content and in peace in your own being, all of those have negative consequences on quality of life as well as on health.